It said the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Would you pray with me, everyone? God, we thank you. You are our light. We celebrate you today. We honor you because you chose to come, to pursue us, to search us out. When we were lost, God, you found us. And you continue to pursue us with your great love. Oh Lord, we ask, remind us of the true meaning of Christmas. Fill our hearts with your joy. Fill our hearts with a love that we cannot get from any human relationship, with perfect love that comes from you alone. Give us revelation, understanding, as we look to your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, everyone. Would you give them a round of applause? This is our second time we've done this. We did this in the 9:30, but it, you know, being in the presence of God, being led by these beautiful people, I just am so grateful of my church. I love my church. Welcome to Praise Center. Christmas in November is how we do it here. And the reason actually why we celebrate Christmas in November is a lot of us actually go away overseas in December. And so we decide to just celebrate as a family, as a church family, one time this year before we all disperse and come back again next year. If this is your first time at Praise Center, we welcome you. My name is Ruth, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I just pray that in the service today that God will touch your hearts in a way he hasn't done before. Christmas. You know, when we saw the kids come up, how many of you just felt a sense of joy? I mean, they were shouting joy, but did you just get a sense of joy? Don't kids do that to you? They make you all warm and fuzzy, especially when they do the funniest thing, the cutest things. Joy. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? In fact, you know, a huge part of celebrating Christmas is about receiving presents. How many of you get filled with joy when you open your presents at Christmas? Have you put up your tree yet? This is just, you know, maybe it's time to do that. I know it's time for me to do that. You know, a study by the Commonwealth Bank into the spending habits of Australians during the Christmas season last year found that about 85% of millennials were spending up to $1,000 on gifts. Can we shout, all the millennials, shout, woo! They're ashamed. They found that most of them would save only a month in advance and finish their festive shopping less than a week before Christmas. You know, despite its Christian roots, we're seeing that Christmas is becoming more of a commercial holiday in this consumer society. I mean, I realize this in my own home. You talk to my four-year-old son, you ask him, you mention the word Christmas, and he's going to immediately think, what are the presents I'm going to get? Have you bought my present yet? In fact, he's given me his Christmas wish list already, and I'm sure it says no surprise to you, but number one on the list is another toy he does not need. In fact, it's like a better, you know, like a deluxe version of one of the toys that he's already got. You know, what if, imagine with me, Christmas was about only receiving gifts that we needed, or about receiving gifts that people feel you needed. For example, I can just only imagine Levi's face when he opens his gift and Mommy gives him the best toothpaste for his very sensitive teeth. I mean, that stuff can get expensive. Probably more expensive than some of the Legos that he has. But could you imagine his face? I mean, imagine the gifts that you would receive. You know, thinking about the gifts that we need, some gifts by their very nature kind of make you swallow your pride. I mean, imagine a good friend of yours, like somebody who really knows you, right? They put your present under the tree and you open it at Christmas. You unwrap the ribbon, tear the wrapping to find a book titled, oh, the suspense, come on, technology. Overcome Greed and Selfishness. You know, for those of you who know, I had a baby about 5 months ago, and I mean, I personally love the presents that I receive from my sisters. I mean, they earn well, and I'm happy for them to spend on me during Christmas. But yeah, but you know, I imagine opening my present from them this year only to find the Busy Mom's Guide to Weight Loss. And you know, but if I was to respond, thank you. You know, I'm in a sense acknowledging that I am struggling to lose this baby fat that I gained during the pregnancy. And I'm admitting that I need help to get a better diet, to get on a healthier food plan. You know, in other words, there are some gifts that are hard to receive simply because to do so, we have to acknowledge our flaws and our weaknesses. And we've got to admit that we need it, that we need help. And many in our society would regard Christmas as more of a secular holiday, but you know, the true message of Christmas, it keeps intruding into our homes, into the malls, especially through traditional Christmas carols, like the one we heard before, Silent Night. Christ the Savior is born. In the Bible, in Luke, chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. The angels visited the shepherds on the day Jesus was born. And he said, and they said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The historical event of Jesus' birth was an announcement. It was God's announcement to the world that the Savior, our Savior, had come. Jesus had laid aside his glory. He left his heavenly dwelling and he entered the human race at that point in history for the purpose of giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And so to accept the true gift of Christmas, we need to admit that we are too flawed and weak to save ourselves, that we are indeed sinners in need of a Savior. You know, as Christmas Day draws closer, I'm sure a lot of you are looking forward to sharing a meal with some loved ones and having a laugh, perhaps overindulging in multiple meals, in opening presents that we don't need. And I'm sure the anticipation of having the best day comes with the idea that we're just going to forget all the problems that we have just for that one day. You know, it's amazing to see that families that never talk to each other, but over Christmas, they happen to just be in the same room and they're okay with that. No fights break out. Everybody's got Christmas cheer on their faces. You know, but the true meaning of Christmas engages with the reality that things are really bad. There is evil in this world. Humans are both wonderfully made in the image of God, and they're capable of great and marvelous things. Yet at the same time, they've been tainted by this thing called sin, and also capable of evil. You know, the Christian faith, it's not about wishful thinking or believing in some fantasy to help you mentally and emotionally deal with the harsh realities of your life. In fact, the Christmas message is that the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light is dawned. The scripture describes the reality of this world as being a dark place. Darkness in the Bible refers to both evil and ignorance. In other words, there is a lot of evil and untold suffering in this world. The Bible doesn't deny that. The Bible doesn't get you to not accept what is going on in your life and believe in some fantasy. In fact, the Bible clearly describes that this world is in such darkness that no one, not even the best political leaders, can cure all the evil and suffering that we see. We simply dwell in the dark. You know, political leaders would say something to the effect of, if we work together, we can overcome poverty, injustice, violence, and evil. I don't know why I switched to that voice, but I just imagine them, you know, saying that in their campaigns. We can create a world of unity and peace. In other words, what they're really saying is, we have the light within us. And so if we just work together, if we just unite as a human race, we can dispel the darkness around us. President Obama, he said in his speech, the peace we seek, I'm not going to try to imitate, okay? The peace we seek in the world begins in human hearts. And it finds its glorious expression when we look beyond any differences in religion or tribe and rejoice in the beauty of every soul. I agree with him in the sense that there is beauty in every soul. But what I disagree with, and what the Bible clearly shows us, is that there is even darkness in the human heart. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we cannot deny that, yes, we are capable of loving, but we are also capable of evil. One time we can be nice to someone, we can be kind to them, and the next moment we could hurt someone and break their hearts. You know, a story is told of a boy who goes to his mom and says, Mom, I would like an Xbox, please, for Christmas. And the mom says to this boy, I'm sorry, honey, we don't have enough money. Why don't you go pray to God, ask him to give you the Xbox? So in faith, this young boy goes to his room, he kneels down and he says, God, let's make a deal. I be good for 1 week, you give me an Xbox. Deal? He goes out to the dinner table, and moments later, his sister starts to annoy him. And then he gets into a fight with her. And midway, he realizes, my deal with God. So he rushes back to his room and says, God, let's renegotiate the terms of our deal. How about you hold your end of the bargain still, but in order for me to get that, I only have to be good for a day. And so this kid goes to bed. And the next day, he wakes up, he goes to school. His mom says, brush your teeth. And he does everything his mom says. He goes to school. At school, some random kids start to pick a fight with him. Hey. And he just gets so angry, he fights back. And midway this fight, he realizes his deal with God. And he goes, oh. And he gets frustrated. And so he goes back home. And then he decides to go to the church across the street. He picks up a statue of the Mother Mary and he comes back to his room. He says, God, if you don't give me an Xbox, I'm not going to give your mother back. You know, laughter aside, according to the Bible, the reason why there is so much darkness in this world is in fact because man has been given the choice to choose between God or not. You know, even though God created us for him, he didn't want to force us into a relationship with him. Because in order for love to exist, freedom must also exist. I mean, I would hate to think that my husband was forced to love me. I know on days, it's not the best. I'm not the best. But at the core of what it means to love somebody, you've got to choose to love them. And the Bible shows us that throughout history, human beings have exercised this freedom for harm as well as for good. You see, Christmas, it's the most realistic way of looking at life, that things are really dark. I mean, it doesn't take much for us to realize that. You read the news, you see the bushfires. But more than that, you read teenagers are the ones starting these bushfires that have caused just a tremendous amount of suffering for a lot of people. Things are really dark, and we all have sinned, and there is nothing that we can do to heal ourselves. We as human beings can't just pull ourselves together and live morally perfect lives. If you look at the biblical accounts of what was happening during the time Jesus was born, you read of violence, you read of injustice, you read of families being ripped apart. You read of people fleeing oppression, abuse of power, bottomless grief, much like what we see today. 2,000 years ago, and today, mankind still cannot find the solution of world peace from within. But nevertheless, the Bible says, there is hope. Light has come from outside of this world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, light, it extinguishes darkness. So in claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus declares that only he can deal with the darkness around us and the darkness inside of us. He ultimately does this through the cross. The Bible describes the human condition as being spiritually dead because our sin has separated us from God, the source of life. But on the cross, Jesus took our darkness upon himself. And he exchanged it for his light. Sin cut off our relationship with our Creator, the source of life. But Jesus has come to restore that. You know, when I was thinking about an analogy of what it's like to like live in the darkness, to, you know, to feel your way through, I was reminded of, who watches Jimmy Fallon here? I was reminded of this thing that he plays with the celebrities and celebrity guests that he has. I think it's called Feel It. Can you feel it? Or something like that. And as you know, Kim Kardashian was on there a couple of, I think this was months ago. And it's funny because she's just so scared of what she's going to get because you just don't know, right? The unknown scares you. And she's like, please just don't give me a spider. And she puts her hand in and she touches that dead squirrel. It's a fake one. And she squeals, ah! She squeals more prettier than that, okay? But it was funny because I was watching this with Levi, my four-year-old son, and he sees clearly that it's a squirrel, a dead one, in fact. And he goes, oh, how cute, because he's thinking, this is a cute stuffed animal. It's so cute. And he's probably thinking, why is she squealing? Why is she scared? But, you know, this is an illustration of what we are like when we're living in total darkness. I don't know if you've been in that situation before. In total darkness, we just can't see where we're going. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's aside, for what's next to us. And we live in fear because of the unknown. And we tend to fear things that we really shouldn't fear at all. But God, Jesus, comes like a searchlight, like headlights in the midst of darkness to say, I am here to save you. Light enables us to see things as they truly are. You know, when we make the decision to follow Jesus and our relationship with our Creator is restored, we finally see what we were created for. There is finally clarity that we were created on purpose, for a purpose. When Jesus shines His light in our lives, we find purpose, meaning, wisdom, direction. No longer are we lost, fearful of things that really don't harm us, that really can't do much to us. But with clarity, we can move forward and see what God has in store for us. You know, the Apostle Peter, in 1 chapter Peter, chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, it says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these days He has been revealed for your sake. You see, Christmas was not an afterthought. God knew that with our freedom, we may choose to do things our way that end up in evil and suffering. But He had planned to send His one and only Son to save us, to rescue us from the darkness that we have created for ourselves. Deep down, the Apostle Peter says, from the empty life, Jesus saves you. Deep down, there is an emptiness within all of us as human beings, if we're just honest with ourselves. There's a thirst for meaning, a longing for significance, a deep desire for a love that we just can't get from human relationships. Inside all of you, don't you desire a love that somebody just, that they won't let you down? A love you can rely on. A love you don't have to guard yourself from. You know, some of us try to satisfy this deep discontent by pursuing wealth or fame or other materialistic things like appearances. And you think, if I had more money, it'd solve a lot of the problems and I'd be happier. Or if I'd just be more famous, then I know I'm loved. A book by the British psychologist Oliver James, it's titled Affluenza. It focused on the impact materialism is having on our society. You know, he discovered in his research that when we center our lives on money, on possessions, on material things, we suffer increased levels of depression, anxiety, and relationship breakdown. His study found that the more materialistic we become as a society, the less loyal we become, the less helpful we become, and even the less joyful we become. And he explored the negative impact that this advertising guru, Vance Packard, wrote about in his thesis, The Hidden Persuaders. He said, in a society where everyone has everything they need, the job of the advertiser is to simply create false needs. And so Oliver James, he researched the impact that false needs advertising has had over the generations. That book was written in 1950. And so he was able to see the impact of a couple of generations since then. And he found that with each successive generation, as they pursue more and more false needs, depression, anxiety rates worsen. In the past, people wanted things because they were useful, he said. Later, they wanted them to enhance their status. But now, they want them because they feel ugly and alone without them. How many of you know Jim Carrey? It's been a while since he has released a movie. But he once said this, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Freddie Mercury, shortly before his death, the lead singer of Queen, he said in an interview, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the major, most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship with God. I'm going to quote something a preacher said. If we fear nothing but God, we will fear everything else. He said to that some effect. Any of you know who said that? Kanye West. I'm sure a lot of you have heard this quote. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return. And even though you don't know the original person who said that, perhaps some of you have seen this quote in Moulin Rouge. What these people have sensed, what these people know, is that there is a longing inside of all of us to be loved. You know, recent studies on loneliness and depression, they found evidence to support that feeling lonely is not just a psychological issue, it's become a public health issue. The feeling of loneliness has posed a bigger risk for premature death than smoking and obesity. Loneliness is becoming a physical health issue. We cannot deny that love is essential to our quality of life. But is our desire to be loved driving us further into loneliness? You know, I see the effect of that through the use of social media. Do you think twice before you post something on Facebook or Instagram, especially when you see the highlights of everyone else? Especially when you're not looking your best, or maybe you've just had the worst day. You know, you say that Facebook or Instagram is about updating. But have we become more concerned about keeping followers than keeping good friends in our lives? Has the culture of social media caused anxiety when it comes to revealing who you truly are? It's been said that no friendship in the world would last a day if we could see each other's thoughts. You know, run this test on yourself. Imagine giving a complete, unfiltered transcript of the things that entered your mind or went through your mind in the past 24 hours to your loved ones, to your spouse, to your good friends, to your siblings, to your parents. Would it change the way they see you? Would it change your relationship with them? Because our desire to be loved and our fear of being rejected at the same time has caused us to go in all relationships with, to some extent, a level of hiding. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, the story is told about Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman. And what we read about is this woman is a woman who lives in shame. Jesus knew that the moment she came to the well with him. And you can read on, and the conversation goes, Jesus said, I know that you've had 5 husbands. And actually, the man you're living with now is not your husband. Imagine that. Imagine having a conversation with a stranger. I know you did this to your girlfriend. I know you cheated. I know you lied when you said you were doing this. I know what you're hiding. But Jesus comes to this woman. And instead of just leaving her exposed when he said that, he said, whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And you read on in that chapter, that day Jesus filled the empty void in this woman's heart. And after meeting him, she went back to her town. She couldn't care less the gossip about her. She went back into that town with joy, declaring that somebody loves me for who I am. Jesus' light had exposed everything about her. He knew her dark past. He knew her thoughts. But rather than leaving her feel exposed and condemning her, he says, I am the solution. I want to fill your heart with the love you've been searching for in all these men. You see, in Christ, you are fully known and wholly loved. Jesus knew that all her sinful thoughts and actions were driven by her longing to feel that emptiness in her heart. She was lost. She was living in darkness, trying to fill anything she can get her hands on, but knowing that nothing could satisfy that deep, deep discontent she feels. But Jesus, the light of the world, comes into her darkness. He shines his light. And he saves her. And he pulls her out of her darkness into his glorious light. Jesus knows everything about you. You see, in the light, every truth about you, it will be exposed. Even the things that you've been wanting to hide, you've been hiding for a while. The light of Christ, it will expose that. But God doesn't expose it to just make you feel condemned or ashamed. In fact, he took your shame upon himself on the cross. And instead, when he exposes that, he says, I've come to heal you. I've come to fix that which is inside of you, that you are ashamed of. You see, light does expose the truth about everything. And with Jesus' light, the truth about who you are will be exposed. You'll be fully known. But at the same time, the light of who God is will also be exposed. The truth about God, that He is loving, that He is gracious, that He is merciful, that He would have the love for you to go to the cross and die in your place. That's what makes His grace so glorious. Christmas is not God's afterthought. He knew that the only way you would choose to love Him is if He would demonstrate the greatness of that love to you. In Romans chapter 5, would you excuse me for one? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 11. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Yep.
So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. You know, no sin shocks God. Nothing about your past, nothing about your darkness, your dark thoughts, your evil thoughts, the things that you do when nobody notices, the things that you do when everyone else is asleep. Nothing shocks God. In fact, He was aware of every sin that you have done and that you will do when He absorbed it on that moment on the cross, when He died in your place, so that He could exchange your sin with His righteousness. You see, only God can cause you to be righteous. Only God can enable you to live a holy life. Christmas, it means joy, glad tidings of great joy. Jesus entered our dark world. He descended into darkness in order to bring us into God's beautiful light. And you know, when you walk in God's light, you will know the truth about things. You will see things as they are. You will know that you were created in the image of a wonderful Creator, Almighty God. And that truth is going to set you free from some fears that have been gripping you in your life, from some anxieties that have gripped you down and caused you to feel afraid to move forward, to take that leap of faith. That truth is going to set you free from some addictions that you've been hiding. You know, there is power when we hide things. The enemy is at work. But the moment you let God's light, and you have to let it because it's your choice, the moment you let God's light shine in that darkness, He's going to set you free and He's going to heal you. As you walk in relationship with Jesus, His word will be a lamp to your feet and it'll help you navigate the darkness in this world. You will not walk aimlessly into your future, but God is going to give you vision. He's going to give you expectation that there is more for you, that the best is yet to come. He's going to give you direction one step at a time as you walk in relationship with Jesus. There'll be clarity in your life. There'll be meaning. There'll be purpose. But we all stand in the presence of God. As you let God's light shine, we will see Him for who He is. Behold His beauty. And it'll keep us from falling back into this old meaningless life that we've been living this whole time. See, when Jesus comes to save us, He completely delivers us and He does something about the darkness in you. And He helps you walk through the darkness around you in this world. one day he promises to come back and there will be no darkness at all. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. If you are here and you believe that Jesus is calling you to a relationship with him, you want to make the choice today to say, God, I want your light to shine on me. I want to know you. I want to walk with my Creator. I want to walk with purpose, with clarity, with meaning in my life. If that is you, all you need to do is declare that through a prayer. Isn't that amazing? Simple as that. A simple, faith-filled prayer. God does not expect you to be good before you can get to him. In fact, like I said, he knows there's darkness. Nothing's going to surprise him. A simple prayer. You know, Jesus showed us his humility when the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, came into this world in a manger. He was born in a place that wasn't his home. You know, when we expect a king to be born, like when Archie, who knows Archie, was born in the royal family, you know, everybody expected a picture of him and everybody, the whole Britain wanted to celebrate. But Jesus, our King, was born in a manger. You know why? Because not only did he come to be in our darkness, he came to experience it with us. Christmas is about God with us. Emmanuel, there is hope because our Savior has come. And so today, if you want to simply respond to that love by one act of faith, it really is that simple. On the count of three, would you raise your hand? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Would you open it up and let him in? One, two, three. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see your hand. You put your hand on your heart. Everybody, you can join this with me. And if that was you, you want to take that step to know Jesus. You want to be in relationship with him. All you need to do is pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know, I admit that I am a sinner. There is darkness inside of me. But you are light. And I ask you to forgive my sins so I can walk in the light with you. I believe you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. And so today, I turn from my sins. I step out of darkness with you into your light. Would you come inside my heart and be my Lord and Savior? In Jesus' name. Now, if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps you've prayed it a couple of times, but today you know with conviction you made a choice. There's no turning back. You're going to follow Jesus. And you want to know the next steps. We have some leaders available to walk you through what the next step is. I'm going to ask you to do one courageous thing as the worship team leads us back into worship. When they do that, would you walk out of your seats, go toward the back, and they will direct you to the library. And they will help you with your next steps. I just pray that God's light of salvation will continue to shine.